Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
And as always, you can join us, 981-7200, 312-981-7200. That is both the text and the telephone number, 312-981-7200. Good morning from the Allstate Showcase Studio, 21 minutes before 7 o'clock on WGN. Well, it was several years ago at this point. I don't know. I don't remember how many years ago. Probably more years than you think, you know, because time goes by so fast. That we heard about this story that was so astounding, it was hard to believe. Here's a football hero, one of the star quarterbacks of the National Football League, and the allegation was dogfighting. At first he said, no, it's not me, but it turns out it was him. And when we saw how horrific it was, maybe the good that was done is I think people first began, okay, these dogs, they're victims, too. They really, truly are. But still, some animal rights organizations said, not me, but some animal rights organizations said, you know what? We really need to euthanize. What are we going to do with these dogs at Michael Vick's compound? Well, Best Friends Animal Society said, no, we look at each dog as an individual, and let's see what we can do here. Thank goodness they did, because they changed lives in so many ways. And now there's an award-winning documentary film about all of that called The Champions. And a champion in the world of animal welfare happens to be on the phone with me. Thank you for getting up so early in the morning. Francis Batista is a co-founder of this amazing organization called Best Friends. Good morning, Francis.
Wow, good morning. Thank you.
Well, thank you for getting up so early. As I said, I do appreciate that. It's even earlier where you are, if you're in Utah, where your organization is based.
Yes, you have to remember why the phone is ringing when it goes.
Sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
But I'm glad you're here. So tell me, I kind of set it up a little bit, but tell me why this movie was made.
Well, actually, the movie was made by one of the people to answer your question, one of the questions you posed to your audience, the Michael Vick dogfighting bust went down in April of 2007. So it was quite a while ago. We're heading on 9 years here. So in 2008, 22 of about 48 of the surviving pit bull type dogs came to Best Friends Animal Society in Utah. Now, they had gone through individual assessments and evaluations, and 22 of them were deemed to be not quite ready for prime time, and they were the 22 most challenging. Surprisingly, the other 26? I guess.
Something like that.
Were sent out to rescue organizations and placed in the care of foster homes and that sort of thing.
Well, I want to interrupt you there.
Francis,
it is amazing, and I want to interrupt you there only because the assumption was made at that time that these dogs are pit bulls. And you're right. Pit bull-type dogs is exactly what I say, because they're dogs that all of us look at and describe as pit bulls. But the truth is, they are just mixed breed dogs. I mean, today, not so much then, but today we do genetic testing and we can determine what you and I have suggested over the years, that they are only mixed breed dogs. Science, in fact, verifies that as a fact. But
indeed,
what's quite amazing to me is, and you have it written somewhere, the producers of the movie do, and I think it's perfectly put, that these dogs, and I'm paraphrasing now, these dogs are more forgiving to people than we would be to other people who did us harm. I mean, it's really quite incredible that some of these dogs, more than half, were able to rebound so fast from being in horrific conditions treated horribly, I mean actually abused by Michael Vick and other people.
Well, it is amazing. And the thing that's so remarkable, particularly when you saw the condition of the dogs as the documentary picks up, when they arrived, I mean, some of them were, I guess they had not been subject to it. They'd not experienced the whatever horror that was going on. A lot of them were young, so they had that going for them. But those that were traumatized by this and those who came to Best Friends, to see them and the documented transformation of their from being utterly untrusting and totally afraid, terrified, frightened, expecting the worst from every human contact, or riddled with scars. Some had their teeth professionally removed so that they could be bred without biting each other. I mean, it was just, it's hard to imagine what went on and how this was done. But yes, there was a documentary crew here working on a TV show called Dogtown at the time. It was a National Geographic show.
I remember.
And so one of the producers, the segment producer from that show, came back 5 years later, 6 years later, something like that, and was wondering, what's going on with these dogs? Where are they at? And so it was her idea, really, Darcy Dennett, to do this follow-up documentary. And she worked with us, with Bad Rap, with another organization that took some of the animals, and some of the people who adopted them and who worked with them. And so she did an amazing job. And so really the credit for this story and bringing out this follow-up story, which is so important, really goes to that wonderful producer, Darcy Dennett. And really what the story is how you could see here are these animals that people wanted to kill, these dogs who were just dogs, and how they have become the heartbeat of a number of families. And as one of the attorneys involved in the case, the special master that was appointed by the court, the guardian special master, says these are more than average dogs, because then went through a list of them. There's some, they're into agility, they're service dogs, they're award winners. The pictures of one of them with blue ribbons all over them, because they are such extraordinary animals, the comeback that they've made, and how what they've demonstrated about their supposed awful breed and what they've demonstrated about the resilience of these individual animals. And the whole point of all this from our perspective was, look, these are dogs. We need to give them a chance. We can't just lump them all together and say they came out of this terrible situation, they all need to die. And which is so crazy when you think about it. Let's kill the victims. We've rescued these dogs from this horrific situation. Now what shall we do? Let's kill them, which was what the standard practice was. And Best Friends and other organizations just said, no, this is ridiculous. There are other things we can do here.
Well, totally.
We need to treat them like individuals.
Totally right about that. The Champions is the movie we're talking about. There will be a screening in Chicago, which I'll talk about in a moment, and tell you how you might be able to come. I think there are still a few tickets left to that. And people listen to this show all over the nation. So I'll give you a website address as to where there might be a screening near you, because they are happening all over the country. I have some text I want to get to. I want to talk about those 22 dogs that were in your compound and what happened to them. And the text question is this: did Michael Vick, who I don't think did any, did he pay enough of a price for this? I mean, with your description, and I'm paraphrasing the text here because the text isn't quite that long, but whatever happened with Vick is what they're asking. Was the price enough? I want to get your opinion on that. We will do that when we come back. Talking to Francis Batista, co-founder of Best Friends Animal Society. Steve Dale here on WGN, 8 minutes before 7 o'clock, talking to the co-founder of Best Friends Animal Society, Francis Batista. We're talking about this movie called The Champions, which will be premiered in Chicago. And I'm looking for the date here, which I don't even have. I know. Oh, I do. It's this Thursday night. It's at the theaters just down the street from here and on Illinois Street. TheChampionsDocumentary.com. TheChampionsDocumentary.com. That's where you can learn more about it. My question going into the break, Francis, is, well, did Michael Vick do enough time? Did he pay a real price for this? I mean, by describing the conditions and the conditions you'll see in the movie, my personal answer is no, but I'm curious about what you think.
Well, in truth, he never did anything with regard to animal cruelty. He was put in jail for essentially a RICO violation, racketeering, interstate gambling, that sort of thing. The dogs and the animal fighting was part of the circumstances that the judge considered, but he was not actually ever tried or convicted or did any time for dog fighting or for animal cruelty or anything. What he was convicted of was in interstate violations of gambling and RICO, you know, the RICO Act.
Right.
So those were what he was convicted of. That's what he did time for. So if you're asking if he was punished enough or did time for the cruelty or the pain or the infliction of all of this abuse on these animals, the answer is no, because he was never tried for that.
Yeah, exactly. So tell me about these, I think it's 22, you said, dogs that landed at Best Friends, and their stories, which are followed in this movie called The Champions, are quite incredible. I mean, you can't tell me now about all 22 dogs, but you could describe how they generally changed, and maybe just one dog you can tell me about.
Sure, and the film actually focuses in on just a few of them, so it tracks them with their families. But one of the they were an interesting cross-section, because some of them had been dog fighters. They were involved in the fight ring. You know, they were fighting dogs. So Lucas, for example, was Michael Vick's grand champion. And he was ordered by the courts not to be allowed to be adopted because he had perceived street value because of his background and the fact that he was a champion fighter. And this poor dog was one of the sweetest animals you'd ever want to meet. He was the star of the show. Whenever we would come to, he would spend a lot of time in the office areas at our CEO's, around our CEO's office and the areas outside of that, Gregory Castle. And he would meet and greet people there, smile, and with his poor, scarred face. I mean, obviously, he was not good with other dogs, but he was wonderful with people. And the idea that this wonderful animal, whose loyalty to whoever did this to him was unrelenting, and he was committed to this relationship, because that's how these animals work. I mean, they are made to fight for the sake of that relationship. They're fighting for the person that is putting them through this. That's the kind of the character of the animals. And this beautiful dog, who demonstrated his loyalty and his what a great animal he was up to his death, and he looked like a sad old boxer with scars all over his face, and that was Lucas. I mean, now he died, and he died of one of the conditions that a lot of them had, which is something called babesia, which is a blood parasite that's transmitted. There's a particular type of babesia.
Yeah, it's a tick.
Well, you tell me. Yes,
I know.
There's one that's associated particularly with fight dogs.
Well, I don't know about association with fight dogs. Babesia is a tick disease, tick-borne disease.
Exactly.
And these dogs, of course, have no medical protection against things like heartworm fleas.
This is transmitted. This particular form of it is transmitted through bites.
Right.
And it's the saliva, and it's so associated and characteristic of these dogs in these circumstances, and a number of these dogs had it. And so keeping them healthy was always a challenge, but Lucas finally succumbed to it.
Yeah. And a lot of these dogs have since passed away just because so many years also have gone by.
I mean, now they're, even if they were puppies, they would be, 9 years old now. So, and you have dogs like Handsome Dan, who was this beautiful blonde pit bull mix, and was so frightened and timid and unsocialized and had no reason to expect any positive contact with a human being. Can you imagine these animals living in this kennel, the bad news kennels, what they called it?
And they were. I'm cutting you off only because we've got to end the show. So I apologize for that. But there's
not at all. Anyway, so they were seeing, it's an amazing experience to see how these animals survived, what they've become, and how they're living with their families, and how they are just the heartbeat of some of these homes.
Yeah. In Chicago, to be clear, in Chicago, the feature will be screened March 3rd. That's this Thursday, 7 o'clock. I will be there. I'll be participating in a discussion after the movie. The movie is at 7 o'clock at the AMC River East. That's at 322 East Ohio Street, just east of Michigan Avenue. Again, thechampionsdocumentary.com. Francis Batista, I am so sorry. We're out of time, that's all. So
thank you.
Thank you so very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.